30. Caleb. Caleb followed Stacker to the base of the spire. The groaning and slapping sounds from the Jaxcluth pursuing them was louder than ever, the monsters closing on them. The soldiers were all back on their feet by the time they arrived, ready and waiting for orders.
"The control room is inside, straight ahead," Stacker said. "I don't know what you'll be able to do. The system melted down."
A handful of people emerged from the front of the building, uniformed officers carrying rifles. They joined the ragged group on the steps.
"I'm not sure either," Caleb replied.
"What about the QDM?
"QDM?"
"The power source."
"There are stairs to the left. Descend to the bottom and go through the door. We'll hold them off for as long as we can."
"Roger that. Aim for the eyes on the central mass. It'll slow them down."
"Where did you come from?"
Stacker asked, surprised Caleb knew anything about the creatures.
He didn't, but Ishek did.
"Long story," Caleb replied. "We can get a beer when this is over." Stacker grunted out a laugh.
"It's on me."
"Roger that," Caleb said as he pushed past Stacker and up the stairs into the base of the spire.
"Which way?" he asked Ishek. "The energy unit or the control room?"
"Control room. Let us see what we can accomplish."
As Caleb ran through the open door just ahead of him, he heard gunfire begin behind him. The change in pitch of the Jaxcluth's groaning signaled its rage as it came under attack. He knew he didn't have much time. The control room was standard military design. Stations, terminals, displays. The largest hung across the front of the room. Most of the computers were offline, including the large display. The smell of burning circuits hung thick in the air.
"Stacker said the system overloaded," Caleb said.
"That terminal is operational."
Caleb looked at the station in the corner. Its display was still active. He hurried over to it and sat in the desk chair, pulling it forward.
"Give me control."
Caleb breathed in, closing his eyes and trying to relax. The pressure in his head built as the Relia advocate seized his mind, taking full ownership of it. Ishek opened his eyes, staring at the display. Humans were so easily weakened without their sight. They relied on vision for too many operations.
"We haven't had hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. If you ask me, Relia are primitive relative to their age."
Ishek wasn't going to argue with Caleb. Not right now, anyway. He began tapping on the control surface, using Caleb's understanding of computer systems to navigate this one. He needed to understand how the spire's energy shield functioned before he could determine if he could use it as an offensive weapon. He pulled up the schematics. The spire had dense carbon crystals mounted at the top. Diamond silicate, its many facets refracted the energy around the city. It wasn't so much a shield as a web, with gaps too small for anything larger than a rodent to squeeze through. The crystals were mounted to adjustable arms, the web able to be repositioned if necessary. It didn't seem the technicians in charge of the spire even knew that, but they weren't the ones who had created the tech, were they? Only the caretakers. Of course, the wiring connecting the modulator to the system at the top of the spire was human-made and couldn't withstand the sheer power required to keep it running while it was under stress. The link was damaged somewhere, and there was likely no way to fix it. But the system hadn't failed. It had been turned off, shut down before it broke completely. Ishek smiled. The humans had done something smart for once.
"Does that mean you can use it?"
He could use it, but they would only have one shot, and the spire would likely be destroyed, with them in it.
"I'm not eager to die," Ishek said. "You'll die anyway if we don't stop the Jaxcluth."
Ishek sighed. He couldn't argue the truth of the situation.
"There is one way we might survive, but we'll have to leave the modulator behind. Whatever it takes, Ish."
The advocate sighed again and began tapping on the control surface. He entered the reflector controls, quickly programming in a series of positioning alterations. He glanced up when he heard activity near the door. General Stacker entered the room, trailed by nearly a dozen shocked soldiers.
"Sergeant, this is all we have left," Stacker said.
I hope you have a plan.
The building shook as the Jaxcluth slammed into it, trying to get inside.
I have a plan, Ishak said. Stay as close to me as you can.
The survivors came forward, huddling around him. Ishak tapped on the controls, his finger hovering over the power transfer switch that would turn the system back on.
Let us hope the system doesn't fail.
His finger came down on the button. A sharp hum immediately filled the room, a massive spike of energy flowing from the modulator up to the top of the spire. The display changed as it did, showing the output of the energy and the movement of the reflectors.
What's happening? Stacker asked. If we're lucky, the Jaxcluth are dying.
The building continued to shake. A deafening roar sounded from outside, along with groaning screams. The seconds ticked past slowly. Ishak watched the progression of the programmed route on the display. 70% complete. The building continued to shake, and the screen started flashing red, the system overloading and beginning to fail.
Come on, damn it. Come on, Ishak said, echoing Caleb's urging.
The inside of the building cracked and started to crumble, a giant tentacle ripping away at the stone, still trying to reach them. Ishak tapped the control surface, increasing power throughout the system.
Increasing? Stay close, he said. Timing is everything.
The display flashed and began to spark and smoke. The soldiers around Stacker were terrified, their eyes wide and faces pale. Ishak drank in their fear, feeding on it. There was no reason not to take advantage of the situation. They needed it to survive. A second tentacle pushed through the crumbling building, reaching out for them. The display went dark. The humming increased to an ear-splitting scream. Something popped, followed by a bright flash of light. Ishak activated the skin shields, using the rest of its stored power to push it out past the gathering survivors, encasing them in a cocoon of energy. The building exploded,